This is the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for September 2000. This is issue number 186, the pre-convention edition of the DX Audio Service. And if you'd like to find out a little bit more about the National Radio Club or the DX Audio Service, you can write to me. My name is Fred Vobbe, spelled V-O-B-B-E, and I'm the publisher of the DX Audio Service. My address is simply 706 Mackenzie Drive, that's M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. You can contact me at area code 419-228-4199. However, allow a few days for a return call if I'm not in. The fax number is 419-221-1609. And if you're on the internet, you can send me email at fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. And on the web, we're appropriately at www.nrcdxas.org. And if you'd like to become a member of the DX Audio Service, the cost for a subscription to United States members is $25. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $28. To Mexico and the Caribbean, it's $32. And to Europe and elsewhere, it's $38. And those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep the cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club and just send them to me and we'll take care of your subscription. Well, hey, there's a guy here that's going to take care of some business. Call letter business, that is. Here's Jerry Starr with a look at the AM Switch.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News Magazine. This month, the reference number is 484, and here we go with call interchanges. On 550, WLKW in Pawtucket, Rhode Island becomes WICE. Now, last month, we told you they were changing to WBZU. Well, they had that change set aside in favor of WICE. 610 KHTL, Albuquerque, New Mexico becomes KNML as Albuquerque calls get all swapped around again. 900 CJVI in Victoria, British Columbia will become CKMO. On 1030, WWGQ, Memphis, Tennessee changes to WGSF. On 1050, KNML in Los Ranchos de Albuquerque, New Mexico becomes WHTL. 1210 WGSF in Bartlett, Tennessee changes to WWGQ. 1230 WZZQ Terre Haute, Indiana becomes WBUZ. 1270 KTRT Claremore, Oklahoma changes to KRVT. 1380 WTVR in Richmond, Virginia becomes WVBB. 1440 WRBP Warren, Ohio goes back to their former call of WRRO. 1490 KBAS Bullhead City, Arizona changing to KZZZ. 1550 KYJY Albuquerque, New Mexico becomes KKJY. And 1550, you're right, that's a new frequency. They were on 1520. They have now moved to 1550. 1560 WTMS in Melbourne, Florida becomes WAOA. And in the X-band on 1640, KBFQ in Enid, Oklahoma becomes KMMZ. Several new stations were granted on 660 in Eugene, Oregon. This will be a synchronous transmitter for KZTU in Junction City, Oregon. They will operate with 140 watts at night only. On 890, new station in Arroyo Grande, California will be 5,000 watts in the daytime, 1,000 watts at night, directional at night. And on 1220 in Cornwall, Ontario, a new station will be coming on the air to replace the facilities of CJSS, which moved to FM. There will be 1,000 watts day and night and separate antenna patterns day and night. One application of interest on 1140 KCXL in Liberty, Missouri. They want to go full-time by adding a mighty 6 watts at night, so watch out for that flamethrower. Grants of interest, just one on 1030 WNVR in Vernon Hills, Illinois. The station has been granted a full-time license by adding 5 watts at night, and this is already in operation. People already reporting hearing this 5-watt nighttime signal. In otherness, on 540 KKJO in Costa Mesa, California, as we alluded to last month, this station is now silent and it will not return to the air. The license is in the process of being turned in by the owner. On 630 WMFD in Wilmington, North Carolina, this silent station has returned to the air. 920 KGHO Olympia, Washington has gone silent once again. 1100 KZPM Bakersfield, California. This long-awaited brand new station is now on the air. They began their first day of broadcasting on July the 22nd. And in Texas, the big swap has finally taken place. 1120 KJSA Mineral Wells, Texas is now here from 1140. And on 1140, KCLE in Cleburne, Texas is now here from, you guessed it, 1120. On 1160, the WSCR story in Chicago, probably everyone knows that, so we'll only touch on it. They have moved their programming to 670, and by the time this tape reaches you, that call will also be on 670, and there's no word yet exactly what will happen on 1160. We believe that will be an FM simulcast until the 1160 facility is sold, but by the time this reaches you, that may have all changed. 1230 CJLP in Disraeli, Quebec. They have now moved to 107.1 FM and the AM is off the air. 1340 KFEZ in Kansas City, Kansas. This station continues to ID as KCKN, even though this call is still licensed to the 1020 station in Roswell, New Mexico, so we're not quite sure what's going on here. 1340 KSRR in Santa Rosa, New Mexico has gone silent. 1340 WCVI in Connellsville, Pennsylvania is back on the air. 1340 WWPA Williamsport, Pennsylvania, also back on the air. 1380 WKDM New York, New York. This station has gone silent, but they will return in the month of September with New York City's first all-Spanish, all-news format. And as we mentioned earlier, 1550 KKJY Albuquerque, New Mexico. They were silent on their former frequency of 1520, but they have now moved to 1550, and they are back on the air. And that wraps it up for this month. Hope to see you all at a convention, or hope to have seen you all at a convention, depending on when this tape arrives in your mailbox. Anyway, we know for sure at the convention this guy will be making an appearance. Here he is right now, John Bucker.
Well, thanks once again, Jerry, and hello, everyone. This is the Travelogue program segment of the DX Audio Service, and what you're going to be hearing for the next few minutes are recordings made of legal station breaks of AM broadcast stations that operate in the western half of the United States, west of the Mississippi River, that really means. And all these stations will have one thing in common today. They will all come in at 580 on your radio dial. Now, I've been asked several times, what exactly is this legal station break? You know, I hear what you say, and I just don't remember. Well, it's very simple. I live in the region near Tampa, Florida. So, for instance, if our local station, WFLA, were to give a legal station break, it would be WFLA Tampa. That would be a fully legal station break. That's all they need say. If they want, however, there are two things that they can put between the call letters and the city of license, but only two things. One is the frequency, and the other is the name of the owner of the station. So it could read WFLA 970 Media General in Tampa, Florida. Now, what do they do? They don't do that at all. What they say is WFLA Tampa Bay. Now, first of all, of course, it rhymes. That's why they do it. Second of all, and perhaps of equal importance, although I'm not sure, it is a legal ID because they do say the word Tampa right after the call letters. I know, it's a big game. And third, though, you should recognize that Tampa Bay is a region, which includes the cities of St. Petersburg and Clearwater and probably 10 other cities that WFLA wants to identify with. So Tampa Bay is the conventional way of referring to this part of Florida. Now, let's see. All these stations just about at 580 operate with 5,000 watts, and there are a few exceptions, as usual, and I'll try to call those out as I think of it as we hear them on this tape. And today we're going to finish up 580 with recordings of stations in K-Land as we start the September 2000 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
Beautiful, relaxing music at AM 580 KRFE Lubbock.
I'm Ben Lurie. In the news this hour, 50 years ago, this would be D-Day minus one.
Okay, so that tells us that recording was made in 1994 on June 5th. Oh, and by the way, that's another of those stations on this regional frequency, 580, that operates with only 500 watts during daytime hours. Now, listen to the program format of this next station.
The Sports Voice of Kansas, with the area's most dominant coverage, with high school football and basketball, NFL games, K-State, KU, and Washburn Sports, Royals baseball, and CBS in mutual coverage, all on the sports leader, 580 WIBW, Topeka.
CBS News, I'm Dick Reeves. Yugoslavian Civil War ceasefires never seem to be literally ceasefires.
Okay, now let me tell you something. In the entire collection of IDs I have, there are over 12,000 of them, I'll bet we have several dozen where the announcer apologizes for going into a program late because of a ball game that ran late. Right? You've heard that many times. But how many times have you ever heard a station do the reverse? Listen to this.
Information Radio WIBW Topeka. Due to programming earlier on WIBW, we now join our regularly scheduled sports broadcast already in progress.
I don't know. I'll just leave that. And with all due deference to Paul Swearingen, who lives there in Topeka, there must be a story because I've just never heard anything that goes along with it. I'll bet Paul will tell me all about it at the NRC convention. Now, there aren't many stations left in the United States that share their time with another station, but once again, let's go out to the middle of Kansas.
WIBW Topeka now leaves the air, but will return at 5:30 this afternoon with news, weather, sports, and more on the Evening Watch. In the meantime, stay tuned for programming from Kansas State University station KKSU in Manhattan.
This is public radio for all of Kansas, KKSU, Manhattan. We're a service of Kansas State University Cooperative Extension with a full afternoon of information and music. First up is Agriculture Today.
Okay, now here's where we're going to separate our Eastern listeners from the Westerners. And I must admit, I'm an Easterner. And when the announcer you're about to hear gave the station call letters, they went swoosh right over my head. I never heard them until he repeated them. Now, my ears just aren't tuned to perk up every time I hear the letter K, the way it would be if I lived west of the Mississippi, I'm sure. I know you heard a K call a moment ago, KKSU, but, you know, be honest with me now. Tell me if you hear the K call on this next station, the first time the announcer actually says it, okay?
And dreams a reality. For more information, call 1-800-4-US-BOND.
We're KZMX, AM and FM, Hot Springs, Custer, and Edgemont. KZMX is AM 580, FM 96.7. Hey, how you doing tonight? This is Eric James, taking you up to 12 o'clock tonight. Right now, here's Mutual Network News.
Heading for higher ground. With Mutual News, I'm Ann Bozell.
You can't tell me you heard that any more than I did, but it was there. Play the tape again if you only heard it once, because they said the call letters twice. 1,000 watts seems to serve this next community with ease, but I must admit I've not heard this kind of an announcement on any other ID we have in the entire Travelog collection. Listen to this.
Do you want KANA to continue to carry the Rush Limbaugh program? Simply send us a postcard telling us your vote. Yes to keep him on or no to get him off to KANA PO Box 580, Anaconda, Montana 59711. We'll let you know the outcome in September.
All right. That was about 4 years ago, by the way, so don't write him any letters. Don't call him. My goodness. Okay, now we're going to have to backtrack just a little to the southeast to pick up this next station. In fact, it's way out by itself in one of the most radio-quiet areas I've ever found in this whole magnificent country. Montrose, Colorado is at least 120 miles west of Colorado Springs, and certainly one, if not two, full mountain ranges separate those two cities. Oh, and it's a full hour's drive, well over 60 miles, from Grand Junction, Colorado. So it's really out there, you got to admit. Let's listen.
Unforgettable AM 580, KUPC, Montrose, Delta, and Grand Junction.
The murder of Jean Rene Ramsey.
All I can say is we're hopeful that the grand jury will help the investigation.
Now, there's a statement I don't understand either. A grand jury isn't supposed to help an investigation. It's supposed to sit quietly and listen. Oh, dear. Let's move down to the very southernmost part of Arizona. Now, Linda and I were only there in the summertime, and as they say, it was a dry heat. But let me tell you, that doesn't matter. It was hot. Very hot in Marana, Arizona.
Down you go, so ballerina dance. Dance.
This is KSAZ, Marana, Tucson, AM 580.
I'm Michael Loy. In the news this hour, President Clinton, in his weekly radio address today, criticized opponents of his health care plan.
Now, quite honestly, we thoroughly enjoyed our stay in the Tucson area, looking over those enormous fields of World War II airplanes that are being stored on a field as far as the eye can see, nothing but wrapped airplanes, bombers and fighter planes from World War II, and from more recent conflicts, too. But it was hot, and to escape the heat, we just headed north to this next 580 station.
You're enjoying Imus in the Morning, heard on the Treasure Valley's home for entertainment, talk, news, and sports. We're Idaho's first radio station, 580 KFXD, Nampa, Boise.
What do you mean? This?
Well, come on. They have the president on live from the White House.
Yeah.
On the debut night of MSNBC, and they just coincidentally have a poll showing him 24 points ahead of Senator Dole.
By the way, the IMUS program has moved here in the Tampa Bay region from a 50,000-watt station to a 1,000-watt station. Now, here's a fine example of how a station in Fresno, California, now that's a relatively small market, it's probably around 60th in the United States, somewhere like that, but they're making great use of a news staff. I mean, if you worked for me and I called you and said, hey man, I want you to go to the shoe unit and record some actualities, would you smile and welcome the challenge, or would you tell me what I think is on your mind?
Mercedes and a marriage made in heaven, at least what the principals are saying this morning.
Rush Limbaugh at 9:05 this morning, followed by yours truly. Again live from Corcoran State Prison. This time we'll broadcast from a shoe unit, go out into the yard and hear all of the wonderful noises that happen on the inside. A few disclaimers.
Here's called by baby.
Believe me.
Okay, now here's an idea that's a bit more typical of KMJ.
This is the KMJ Midday News with Wayne Garcia and Susan Peterson, Bill Woodward with sports, Roy Isom and farm news, weatherman Harry Stockman, the Wall Street Journal report, and Paul Harvey news and commentary, all on KMJ Fresno, where news comes first.
And you know, that's the only California station operating at 580 on the dial. So once again, attesting to the carrying power of signals on these low frequencies. But it doesn't take long once you cross out of California into Oregon to find another 580
Climate
station.
First Federal. Our roots run deep.
You're listening to Southern Oregon's finest news, talk, and sports radio station. This is KCMX AM 580, Ashland, Medford.
From the Washington News Desk, I'm Diane Kepley.
And Truth in Advertising, in fact, it wasn't us at all on that trip. It was son John that made that recording. So thank you, John. That puts a wrap on the U.S. stations that we have on tape from 580. But, hey, wait a minute. Whoa. Sit down, Bruce. Take your hand off that switch, Fred. That's not the end of today's travelogue. 580 is a frequency well populated with Canadian stations, too, and we have a couple of them for you here. Let's start in Manitoba, and thank you, Adam, for this next one. This is the most powerful station on today's program of the travelogue.
16 minutes after 7 on Winnipeg Radio, CKY with Don Percy. It's cloudy, showery this morning, although the rain is holding off, but it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that we're going to get it. With a high temperature today about 24, maybe some sunshine this afternoon, a hope with a current reading of about 17 Celsius.
And here's a recording we made a couple of 3 years ago from the little town of Marysville, Michigan.
This is 580 Memories, CKWW, serving Windsor and Detroit. Good morning, it's 10 o'clock, and once again, time with the news. Here is Rob Sherbel.
And not to be outdone, though, of course, that's Fred's territory, and what was it? Just in the last couple of months, Fred made this recording of CKWW.
KWW. Standards, swing, and big bands, too.
KWW, the Motor City, blue on blue.
Hey, wait a minute, Fred. I thought Detroit was the Motor City. Oh, no, wait. When we get to 800, we're going to hear another Canadian station call Windsor the Motor City, aren't we? Oh, well. What do you say we move further east in Ontario, almost to the province of Quebec?
Mainly in the morning with Ottawa's largest radio news team. This is News Talk Radio 580, CFRA.
News Talk Radio.
It's 8 o'clock. Good Monday morning. I'm John Brenner with the 580 CFRA News Watch.
And our last station on this extensive travelogue finds us in the Atlantic time zone. In fact, about the time you hear this tape, Linda and I are going to be in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, just a day or two away from the National NRC Convention in Lima.
A reminder that 4 out of 5 mathematicians count on CJFX in Antigonish and Port Hawkesbury. It's 3 o'clock. CJFX News with Paul McCackern.
Well, that does it for the 580 stations we have on tape. Now, the next travelogue you'll hear will come to you live on tape from the NRC convention in Lima. We always have fun doing that in front of a live audience. And sometimes we even get the audience involved, and we'll just see what happens this year. Hope we can do that. But even before that, we have the experimenter with us, Bruce Conti, and the DX Digest. Bruce?
Hello, DXers. I'm Bruce Conti, and this is the DX Digest. On July 31st, WMAQ Chicago on 670 said farewell to the airwaves. WMAQ became the new home of the Score WSCR Sports Radio 670. As a CBS Infinity station, WMAQ's all-news format competed with all-news WBBM Chicago on 780, also a CBS Infinity station. Infinity had to let one go, and so it was, WMAQ, with some of its new staff and on-air personalities moving to WBBM. On the last night of broadcasting, memories from WMAQ's 78-year history were shared, and announcements asked listeners to make the change to News Radio 780 WBBM.
WMAQ memory. Another page from the 78-year history of Chicago's oldest radio station.
Ask radio historian Chuck Shaden where WMAQ ranks among the hundreds of radio stations that have come and gone in Chicago since it signed on in 1922, and Shaden minces no words.
WMAQ is right on the top. It's right up at the top.
Some say WMAQ achieved greatness because of its 50,000-watt signal, or the fact that it had a clear channel frequency, 670, that at one time allowed it to broadcast to 38 states and into Canada. Still others say it was the great program made possible by 60 years of network ownership during its 78-year history. But in the beginning, WMAQ was not a 50,000-watt station. That wouldn't happen until 1935. It was not a network-owned station. There were no networks in 1922. In fact, it didn't even have the call letters WMAQ or the frequency 670. What it did have was the first woman to manage a commercial radio station, Judith Waller.
Judith Waller, for a great many years, was in charge of WMAQ, and she won the respect of all the men and all the males in management at NBC.
In a 1948 interview, Waller recalled the station's origin.
WMAQ was not WMAQ when we first started. It was WGU. And that was on April 13th, 1922. Really, WGU started on the airwaves and not WMAQ. Operating on a frequency of 833 kilocycles.
WMAQ, Chicago's number one station. Judith Waller had no illusions about the reach of WMAQ precursor WGU the day of its first broadcast in 1922.
She said it was only a little 100-watt station then, and we were up on the top floor in a little tiny room. I'm sure nobody ever heard the first program that went out.
So what did everyone miss?
Well, the first program was an opera singer, Miss Sophie Boslow of Metropolitan Opera, who had come to Chicago to sing with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And you know, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And I asked the management of the Symphony Association if they'd introduce me to her. When I asked her if she'd come and sing on radio, she had never heard of radio, but she was a little intrigued, and so she said, well, yes, she would come. When did you do it? And I said, we did it whenever she would come. That's the way schedules were run on those days.
Within 6 months, Waller discarded the WGU call letters for WMAQ. But it was not because of confusion. Call letters, the Chicago Tribune would have changed for its new radio station, WGN.
The police department of the city hall had a radio station called WBU. And the call letters were so similar that we petitioned to have ours changed.
The era before structured federal regulations, stations would jump from frequency to frequency, and schedules were chaotic. But WMAQ gained early prominence. Waller said it soon moved from the rat-infested roof of the fair store to quarters more befitting its early popularity.
3 years later, we moved over into the top of the Hotel LaSalle, put the transmitter up on top of the Hotel LaSalle. At that time, it was the tallest building in the loop. And we had and lovely studio over there. Lovely in that sense of the word. We opened with a very grand program then, hiring the whole Skull Symphony Orchestra to come and broadcast for us and put it up on top of the ballroom at the LaSalle Hotel.
Moore believed that the new medium should offer more than entertainment. He suggested that actual pickup of classroom lectures from Northwestern University and the University of Chicago were both desirable and worthwhile. She pioneered educational children's programs and live sports broadcasts. And when CBS signed on, Waller made sure that WMAQ was a part.
We became affiliated with them and stayed with them until the National Broadcasting Company bought WMAQ in the fall of 1931.
WMAQ didn't just rebroadcast network programming. Waller said that it was an early originator.
Well, we had programs originating out of WMAQ studios for the Columbia Broadcasting System, and then the National Broadcasting Company had bought Amos and Andy for Hepsiman, and we were feeding that program out of WMAQ because we still retained the ownership of the team, you see.
In 1929, WMAQ moved again from the LaSalle Hotel to the top floor of the newly completed Daily News building at 400 West Madison Street. It would stay there only until May of 1932, when construction was complete on its studios in the Merchandise Mart, its home for nearly 60 years.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. WMAQ and WMAQ-FM, NBC in Chicago.
And now, a WMAQ memory. Another page from the 78-year history of Chicago's oldest radio station.
WMAQ has been most closely identified over the years with NBC, the station's owner from 1931 until 1988. For the first time, NBC made overtures to WMAQ in 1926. The Chicago Daily News and station general manager, Judith Waller, told America's First Network, no thanks.
They wanted 3 hours from 7 to 10, and the Daily News wasn't interested in giving up their choice evening hours for network programs at that time.
NBC programs have been broadcast on a variety of Chicago stations, including KYW, WIBO, WGN, and WCFL. In 1929, NBC purchased WENR, and since it shared time with WLS, it was far from an ideal signal. WMAQ was still not a 50,000-watt powerhouse when NBC purchased the station. Power had been increased from the initial 100 watts to 500 watts in 1923, when it moved to its current 670 dial position. In 1926, power was increased to 1,000 watts, and in 1928 to 5,000, which was enough to cover most of the Midwest at night. Waller said in 1952 that by the time the Daily News prepared to sell the station to NBC, the size of its staff began to rival the newspapers.
We started with nobody, an engineer and myself. And when the station was bought by NBC, I think we had a staff of 175.
It also had programming, something the quickly growing NBC needed. Two important broadcast teams were already on board when NBC bought the station. At the time of the sale, the big draws were Freeman, Gosden, and Charles Carell. The actors who portrayed Amos and Andy. They joined the station in 1946 from rival WGN. Jim and Marion Jordan, who later became famous as Fibber McGee and Molly, joined the station in 1929. In 6 short years, they went from extras who filled in when the network telephone lines went down to the toast of the nation's airwaves. The stage was set for WMAQ to create some of the most memorable moments from the golden age of radio.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Tune in to News Radio 780 WBBM on Tuesday, August 1st, when Pat Cassidy joins Felicia Middlebrook. Mornings on WBBM. Chicago's two great morning voices together at last. On 780, News Radio 780 WBBM. Tuesday, August 1st, make the change.
Get ready for change. This is Pat Cassidy as WMAQ goes away. Change your radio to 780 AM, WBBM, for news, weather, traffic, sports, business, and me, teamed up with Felicia Middlebrooks in the morning. That's 780 on Tuesday, August 1st. Make the change. If you're tuned to 670 for news, please turn to News Radio 780, WBBM. WMAQ will now be WSCR, The Score, featuring the best in sports conversation. This is WMAQ, Chicago.
The final broadcast, the end.
of Radio 670, WMAQ, Chicago.
WMAQ on their last night of broadcasting. That, of course, was a recording of Long Distance Reception as heard here in New Hampshire. More next time on the DX Digest. I'm Bruce Conti, 73, and good DX.
Mark Dernberger here with part two of our two-parter, Nashville at Night, recorded in June of 1999 from the Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's see, we're about halfway through the band scan of the Clear Channel stations, and last month we left off with...
KYW News Radio checks business at 25, then again at 55 after the hour every day of the week. Plus, we have instant updates on our website at kyw1060.com.
Let's go to 1070.com. Probably hearing a little bit of Indiana in there. Among other things, 1080.
That inside move back toward the second base bag. I think it first started off with a couple of boos for Sheffield because of the big swing, and then it gradually turned into...
All right, let's get the Rangers score here, and we can move on to Baltimore.
Last year, 30 homers, 90 RBIs for Mondesi, and he is on a pace to far exceed those numbers this year. On a pace to hit 53 homers. No Dodger has ever hit even 45. Dealey delivers, and he misses low and outside. Eric Karras is the on-deck batter.
Well, if these guys don't give any more indication that this is KRLD, we're going to have to move on. All right, let's go up to Baltimore. Then again, how about Cleveland?
How would you know, you stupid dummy?
And now the...
You are such a non-talented sick man. You anti-Clevelanders, say something. They're paying you money to speak on the air, you don't know.
Joe Brinkman.
Oh, heck with Joe Brinkman. We hate him, too.
Has taken Julian Tavares off of the mound and wrestled him to the ground.
Oh, boy.
Tomorrow night on Extra Innings following the game from Jacob Field. And until then,
I love you, Cleveland.
The home of Cleveland Indian baseball. This is the Blue One. Now continuing coverage on News Radio WTAM 1100 Cleveland.
A Cleveland City councilman labeled a wife beater. He says it's not true.
Good evening. I'm Carmen Angelo, and this is the 11 o'clock report on News Radio WTAM 1100. Details coming up.
Let's try 1110. See what Charlotte sounds like here. When in fact, we're probably competing with KFAB in Omaha. Indeed. Well, let's try St. Louis.
Cardinals have had some key hits tonight. Bragg has had two of them. He's looking for his third. He's set. So is Marino. Long look. Now he fires. Fastball. Smoke to the first baseman. Giambi makes his first play of the night. He made it look easy.
Oh, wow.
Race to the bag. Took it unassisted. We owe you a break, and we'll give it to you now. This is the Cardinals Baseball Network.
For a hole in your roof or a hole in your roof, Frederick Roofing. Frederick Roofing, 645-2000.
KMOX, St. Louis.
Eli Marrero continues his hot hitting. He's at the plate.
Who's at 1130?
Buena lucha, rima. Buena sombra de cobija. Arrímese con la mexicana, compa. Arrímese con la mexicana. Véngase pa' acá. La mexicana. La que está pura, buena.
Got any ideas who that might be here in Nashville, Tennessee? 1130. Let's see if we have any luck at 1140. the band is dead toward the east, isn't it? How about 1160?
The outgoing government of Benjamin Netanyahu.
Oop, that sounds like a local, doesn't it?
A freeze on new settlements in the West Bank and the Arab part of Jerusalem.
Which means no 1170 either. A little RVA coming in there. How about 1180? That's inconclusive. Here's Fort Wayne.
Ordering federal health plans covering millions of government workers to give equal treatment to insurance for mental illness. I'm Tim Odom, ABC News. I'm Jim Tai with the official WoWo weather forecast. Clear skies this evening with an overnight low of 65. Tuesday will be sunny and warm with a high of 91. Tuesday night will be clear, low of 65 degrees. And on Wednesday, partly sunny skies and a high of 89 degrees. Your next weather forecast in 30 minutes on News Talk 1190 WoWo, Fort Wayne's number one for weather, news, and entertaining talk.
1200.
Antonio Davis on the floor to open the final quarter. Here's Jim. Looking to do some business on Childs. He sends it back Jackson. 10 on the shot now. Rose faces up left side. Turns his back.
And that's the San Antonio flagship station during the NBA playoffs. Of course, Clear Channel's WOAI. How about 12-10? Can we get Philadelphia from here?
Final, the Minnesota Twins beating the Cincinnati Reds by an 8-6 score. Home
yes.
For Cincinnati for Eddie Coffey and Pokey Reese in this one, but Minnesota going out to the big early lead by a score of 7-1. They end up getting a victory for Mike Lincoln tonight. Steve Avery taking the loss for Cincinnati.
WPHT in Philadelphia. Let's see what we can find at 1500. There's a reason for that. Right next door at 1510 is a local. Like we're not getting an ID from WLAC. Well, 1510, 50 kilowatts, that'll wipe 1520. How about SAI in Cincinnati and 1530?
Tickets are just $20 in advance, $22.50 at the door. Meaning it's limited, so call for details and reservations at 731-8000. At 731-8000. See you on the 19th at the 20th Century Theater.
Good evening. This is the night shift. Sandy McGowan with you at 1530 WSAI. We're Cincinnati's original hit station, and we feel we're unique. We are the only station that plays a great song by the great singers. It's the music of your life. And I've got Tony Bennett coming up for you.
How about 1540? What can we do there?
I mean, it's really kind of ironic that these NATO characters get on television and they talk like they've got ice water in their veins.
I'd like to believe that that's Waterloo, but I'm not sure.
Injured more than 6,000 people.
All right, well, let's give up on that guy and go to 1560. Where, if we hear Radio Disney, we'll know we have WQ, whatever they used to be. Cranking the loop around here. We had a little surprise in there, didn't we, on 1560. Did y'all hear it? Well, now we're hearing a little Radio Disney in there. Nashville at Night, Part 2, on the DX Audio Service. I'm Mark Dernberger. Sorry we missed you in Lima, Ohio this year at the National Radio Club show. Next month, we're going to begin a trip across the midsection of the country. A trip we took this May from Minneapolis to Grand Junction, on which we stopped about every 300 miles, once each night at the same time, and tracked a selected group of 1A Clear Channel stations to see how they sound as we drove from east to west. And later this year, we'll have a tour of the KRVN transmitter site in Lexington, Nebraska, and a comparison of reception on a beverage antenna and a good loop recorded in the desert. And later on, this will be fun, our Clear Channel capture machine goes back to the mid-1970s for some snippets of actual air checks of some of the Clear Channel stations as they sounded at night before the FCC permitted duplication on the channels. We'd love to hear from you. We're always looking for ideas to make this a better service. I'm the rookie in the DX Audio Service, and my email address is dernberger@uswest.net. That's D-U-R-E-N-B-E-R-G-E-R. At uswest.net. And until next month, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark. And before we flip over to side two of this magazine, I'd like to read an article out of Radio World Magazine. It has nothing to do with AM or FM broadcasting, but it does talk about shortwave, which is kind of interesting. This was on the guest commentary page, page 6 of the August 16th, 2000 edition of Radio World Magazine. It was titled, U.S. Moving Away from Shortwave, by Jack Quinn. There must be something in the water that causes some of Washington's high-level political appointees to ignore good engineering practices and the laws of physics. First, despite the failed attempt of the Italian FM deregulation free-for-all, the Federal Communications Commission has decided that the creation of low-power FM will not degrade decades of the agency's careful spectrum management. Secondly, the U.S. Department of State and the International Broadcasting Board appear to believe that they can substitute FM, the Internet, and satellites for high-power international shortwave broadcasting. The Voice of America and Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, have provided the world's closed societies with the truth about what goes on in their own country and the rest of the world. Ex-USSR President Mikhail Gorbachev admitted that these radios gave hope to the oppressed and were instrumental in bringing about social change and democracy to countries that were previously under the Soviet Union's domination. While there is no longer a so-called Cold War, the planet is not entirely peaceful, and the world press is not free. It is still unstable, perhaps more so than ever. And there is a desperate need to continue our powerful beacons of truth and hope. In 1995, all the U.S. radio services, VOA, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Radio Free Asia, and Radio Marti, were combined under the new IBB, the International Broadcasting Board, with an oversight board of governors comprised of presidential appointees and a director. Since October of 1999, they report to the U.S. Department of State directly, instead of the U.S. Information Agency, thanks to Senator Jesse Helms, Republican of North Carolina. He insisted that the USIA be eliminated, effective October 1, 1999, as part of his negotiations creating the 1995 Department of State Reorganization Act. I believe the USIA is the first agency in the history of the United States government to be terminated. It was created at the outset of the Cold War to combat USSR propaganda against the United States. The USSR was dissolved in the late 1980s. Now there was no reason for it to exist. With all due respect, none of the IBB board members or the present IBB director has had hands-on broadcasting experience, especially in high-frequency shortwave. Unfortunately, the IBB and the State Department's younger computer generation seem to believe shortwave radio broadcasting is now passé. So misguided is their thinking that they recently replaced the Director of Engineering, an honest, world-renowned engineering authority, because he wouldn't support their misguided technical deficient conceptions. During the Kosovo War, the fall of 1999, State Department officials decided that young people of today listen only to FM. When the crisis arose, they insisted on the immediate installation of 5 stations throughout Romania, Bosnia, and Kosovo, mainly targeting Belgrade and Novi Sad, 2 major Serbian population centers. As FM broadcasting is limited to line of sight, borders cannot be penetrated further than a few dozen miles, depending upon the transmitter site elevation and the mountainous terrain. For example, the radio horizon is only 100 miles from the Romanian 5,000-foot mountaintop installation. Belgrade is 80 miles away. But it only takes a 100-watt jammer to lock on to every FM receiver in the coverage area. Although the IBB uses Harris 10-kilowatt transmitters with 8 stacked Scala log periodic arrays having a 14.5 decibel total gain for an effective radiated power of 300 kilowatts, President Slobodan Milosevic's Serbian government can, and has, jam these broadcasts at will. The State Department and IBB argue that we need new methods to deliver programs in the 21st century. Why not the internet or satellites instead of shortwave? They are not yet viable substitutes by any means. Some of these techniques are now in limited use by the IBB, but further expansion must be first subject to the availability of such new technologies in third world countries. The vast populations of the world are still in underdeveloped countries. The third world has historically relied upon medium wave and shortwave transistor radios. To them, the recently introduced Beijing hand crank radio made in South Africa, which does not require expensive and scarce batteries, is a significant development. It is anyone's guess as to when these countries will have new technology capability, but it is safe to say that it won't be for another decade or two, at least. In the meantime, we have no choice but to maintain our existing time-proven broadcasting system. FM, the internet, or satellite transmissions cannot substitute for a network total of 144 high-power, 250,000-watt, and 500,000-watt medium-wave and shortwave stations worldwide. And even these facilities need to be upgraded in order to adequately cover today's international hotspots. The dollar value of all IBB technical facilities is in the order of $3 billion to $4 billion. They could probably not be duplicated today for that amount, and the engineering talent required for such a tremendous effort no longer exists. The present U.S. government's 10-year foreign transmitting site lease agreements are irreplaceable, and because of political changes, it is doubtful that they could all be renegotiated at all or on the same terms. What has taken several decades to build must be carefully maintained for the foreseeable future. To avoid irreparable damage to our international broadcast services, the State Department and the IBB Board of Governors must proceed with caution. If they are in any doubt that medium wave and shortwave broadcasting are the only practical delivery system, then Congress should demand a review by an independent professional advisory group from both inside the IBB and outside technical experts to avoid irreparable damage to our international broadcast service.
At this time, please turn over your tape to side two.
Ooh, with personality and radio. WLS, that's who.
You're fine.